Hi guys, welcome to the Hot Literati. The Hot Literati is a collective of hot, cool, well-read people. My name is Halo, and I'm so happy that you're here. So, good morning. It is a rainy, misty day in New York. I actually quite like rain. It's one of my hot takes. I think it's so nice. Like, I love getting an ice cream cone and walking around if it's not, like, pouring out. And, you know, the air has more moisture to it. Like, it can be quite nice. But it is still a somber morning. So I woke up, I had a cup of coffee, and I read in bed as I usually do, and I was reading this Robert Henry book, which I talked about a few weeks ago. Robert Henry is a painter who has this wonderful book called The Art Spirit that talks about, like, your perspective as an artist. And he was kind of like Rubin before Rick Rubin was Rick Rubin. So yeah, I read this section on art and competition and, like, reward that I really wanted to speak on a little bit, because I think that in the society that we're in, like, late-stage capitalism... I watched this really interesting thing the other day that was checking out how late-stage capitalism as a phrase linguistically is so interesting, because it's predicated on the idea that there's, like, an end, and that we're, like, ramping up against some sort of, like, end, and not, like, a development out of the past. But that is tangential. I just think words are so fascinating, and it's nice to know, like, the exact meaning of what you're saying sometimes. I'm also, like, a big advocate of blurring, like, the definition of a word if you feel like it can be stretched, and we're making your own, as long as it kind of, like, makes sense. So yeah, that's it's subjective, like, because we've created language. But yeah, and so in, like, this society that we're in, a lot of the time art is given the same parameters, right? Like, you as an artist are being told, like, okay, like, you go to this school, you do this thing, like, this is how you're successful. And I think that a lot of our first experiences with art as competition, or maybe even, like, art as prestige, is in school, right? So I recently reread the first book that, like, I remember falling in love with. It's Love That Dog by Sharon Creech. And apparently her work, even her children's work, is, like, quite sad. So I think she gave me, like, an early taste of melancholia, for better or worse. But it's about this little boy learning how to read and write poetry, and there's the section where his teacher, like, puts his poem up on the board. And I think that's, like, probably our first experience for a lot of us with feeling like we're good at something in general, but also feeling like we're good at art and, like, writing or painting, things like that, is, like, the literal grade that you get, what you bring home to mom and dad, or whoever you have at home, like, what you bring home, how it's received there, like, this sort of, like, validation, right? And every time I think of, like, early validation, I'm always drawn back to Alice Miller, the psychologist, and the drama of The Gifted Child. She's the person who had the idea of, like, a true self. Like, we all have a true self, and when we get praise really young, a lot of the time we start, like, contorting what we're good at, what we like to do, what we quote-unquote like to do, toward, like, the goal of getting that praise. Because we're taught, like, oh, like, okay, this is, like, me, like, this is, like, a raw version of me, but I can, like, put all of these things on, put it these activities, these identities, and these are what I do to get, like, praised by society. And, you know, praise as, like, social creatures, even though we've, like, with tech made ourselves a little less social, as social creatures, praise does make us feel good. It makes us feel safer. It makes us feel more secure. So it's, well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, the inclination to seek out praise is, like, so natural, and I don't think anyone should ever feel, like, bad or ashamed for wanting, like, validation or wanting to be affirmed, because it does feel quite good. And as a writer, like, I've gotten, like, little bouts of affirmation growing up, you know, like, I've had a couple of teachers tell me, like, fundamental points that I was good at writing, and I think that is something that kept me going. But at the same time, once you get to a point, I feel like you have to learn how to abandon that need for praise, than that need for quote-unquote prestige. But again, as someone who did go to, like, a school that's known for writing, did get, like, a degree in English and, like, a minor, like, one of my minors was in writing, I am coming from a place of privilege in saying this, so I just want to acknowledge that, because I understand, like, saying, like, oh, I don't need, like, validation. It probably is, like, easier for me because there's less social pressure to need it since I already have this, like, badge by an institution. But, yeah, let's dig into what Robert Henry says about this. I just want to, like, read the quotes because I think it's really wonderful. And this is, like, his approach towards art in general. It's so, like, personal and spiritual and more for the sake of the art as opposed to the sake of, like, the glory, which I love and I think is really wonderful. So, okay, so this is one of the sections. Throughout the whole history of art, committees and juries, whoever composed them, have failed to pick winners. Oh yes, there are a few instances, but they are so few that they only serve as exceptions to prove the rule. To cite one great instance, take the history of art in France. Practically every artist who today stands a glory to French art was rejected and repudiated by the committees and juries. So the young artists are to be noticed, and if they are deserving, we, the old fellows, are to hand down our judgment, encouraging awards to the little fledglings. How does the young artist look at it? If these young artists are really deserving, it must be because they already have ideas and opinions which belong to them and their generations. It is quite likely they don't want our judgment. Are we not too anxious to have our fingers in their pie as well as in our own? Can't we ever realize that it is not for the old to judge the young, that it is the young who must judge the old? To award prizes is to attempt to control the course of another man's work. It is a bid to have him do what you will approve. It affects not only the one who wins the award, but all those who in any measure strive for it. It is an effort to stop evolution, to hold things back to the plane of your judgment. It is a check on a great adventure of human life. It is negative to the idea that youth should go forward. It is for the coming generation to judge you, not for you to judge it. So it must happen whether you will or will it or not. So yeah, he kind of, I love this take that by giving, like, younger artists awards, you're kind of, like, controlling the course of their work in a way that's not great. Like, and I think, you know, realistically, that's the way things work because older people typically have more money, and more quote-unquote success and prestige just by nature of being old. But I think we see in the trajectory of a lot of artists, like, not all, but many, like, you do your best work when you're still quite young because you still have this, like, oh, like, screw it, like, I'm gonna do what I want to do mentality, and you're not, like, you're not as tame yet, I don't know. And I'm reminded of Why You Should Read Kafka Before You Waste Your Life, this book by James Haas. Also, we're reading The Trial for book club. Join before it's too late on the website. We're doing it in 4 weeks, and we're literally on week one right now, so this is the best time to join. But Kafka, according to James Haas in that book, won a writing competition, like, early on in his career that did help him get, like, some visibility, but he fully made, like, an under-the-table deal. Like, I don't remember if he got, like, second place or first place, but, like, the cash prize was, like, contorted a little bit and given to someone who it, like, wasn't originally going to be given to, and, like, he got some sort of award, but he, like, agreed to get the award in lieu of the cash prize or something like that. So he did it more consciously as, like, a way, like, a means of access. And I think it's so interesting in today's day and age because I think the artist as an identity has become so commodified, like, we've talked about it before. So I'm all for, like, you know, I think identity is something you can contort in really interesting ways, but I don't think you should ever touch the art. I don't think you should ever be contorting your art to make more money, to make someone happier. And yeah, I mean, like, realistically, writing competitions especially, like, don't do anything anymore. Maybe this is just me being jaded, but I mean, I've won, like, one from a Lit Mag. You know, I've seen, like, the awards given out at my school's, like, little ceremonies when we all graduated, and it's, like, a nice thing to put on your resume, but I don't know, I think it depends on, like, your purpose for creating art. If you're making art because you need to, because it's an expression of yourself. Why do you need someone else to read it and say, oh, this is good? You know, I don't know. I think art should be like moving. And I think for it to be moving, it can only ever be as honest as it can be. Yeah. So I want to read a little more of this Robert Henry quote. I repeat, if our attempt to help young artists is to be by giving them prizes, which we award, we demand of them that they please us, whether they please themselves or not. Let the work they do get its honor in being what it is. Prizes generally go amiss. The award of prizes is the effect of setting up a false discrimination. We must realize that artists are not in competition with each other. Yeah. So, another thing that I think is so funny is, like, any sort of, like, lit magazine, any sort of writing competition, it's so arbitrary. You know, people throw together, like, a random committee. They throw together, like, a publication, and then they say, like, we have a competition. A lot of the time today, it's a growth hack, you know, and you get, what, like, $100 for winning? And even being featured in, like, a huge publication, like, the ones that are, like, house names now, I, like, editorials crumbling in the strangest ways, which I think is a byproduct of, again, like, society, the way that we've, like, automated things, the way they, like, underpay writers and edit their personalities out of their work. But a lot of those, like, competitions and things are so nepotistic. Like, you have to play the game to be a part of the institution already. You have to, like, go to the right school. You have to know the right people. You have to have, like, connections to get your work read in the first place. And then when you look at the idea of a committee is, like, so subjective because it's a few people who already have, like, their personal opinions about work, but then they're looking at your work through this lens of, like, the institution as well. So they're like, okay, what's good? But then they're going to, like, hack your work down to a very, like, grammatical sense too, and think, like, is this new, is this good, quote unquote good. So you have to do it for yourself at the end of the day. You literally just have to do it because you want to do it and you need to do it. And I think I've said it time and time again, I think that's what makes, like, a real artist. And I think that's what makes real art, and real art should move people. It should never be for the purpose of, like, glory or, like, winning a competition or something. And that's why I think, like, social media is so interesting in this conversation too, and the things that it's done by quantifying how people feel about art. And we see something like that one poet, what's her name, Rupi, like, you know, like, a lot of people can flock to something, but then once we've deemed it's, like, too much or it's too, like, mainstream, then we allot it this, like, feeling of it being, like, overdone too. So yeah, I think there's this David Bowie quote, I believe, where he talks about how his favorite performances were the ones that he did for himself, and if he started thinking about the audience, he would, like, mess up or it would just, like, lose some of the magic. And I think all art's like that. You have to situate yourself inside of your own head. You have to get connected to that piece that's, like, bigger than you and is telling you to create. And I think that's what makes good art and a real artist. Okay, that is my rant. I'm wrapping up now. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I encourage you to join book club if you want to talk to other really heady, wonderful people about Kafka for a few weeks. And enjoy your day. Bye, y'all.